From the American College of Cardiology, this is Dr. Kim Eagle, ACC.org, Editor-in-Chief, with this week's Eagle's Eye View. This is your weekly cardiovascular update from ACC.org. I'm recording this podcast on Monday, May 18th. I've chosen three articles related to COVID-19 that I think are important and can inform our practice. Obviously, this pandemic continues to influence care both near and far, and the knowledge coming out is rapidly evolving, and I wanted to continue to give you areas of knowledge that I think are relevant to our practices. I've chosen an article from the European Heart Journal looking at the significance of myocardial injury in patients with severe COVID-19. I've also picked an article from the European Heart Journal looking at patients in Lombardy, Italy, comparing those who had cardiac disease to those who did not and outcomes. And then a really important article from Annals of Internal Medicine looking at false negative rate of current reverse transcriptase polymerase chain reaction testing for this virus. So the first paper was a study of over 2,000 patients hospitalized in Wuhan in January and February. This study particularly looked at 671 individuals who had severe disease and good medical data and follow-up. The median age was 63. About half were men. And the median time from symptom onset to the follow-up was 23 days, and from hospital admission to the end of follow-up was 17 days. Overall mortality, 9.2%, and there was a much higher prevalence of myocardial injury among patients who died compared to survivors. Looking at troponin I, if they picked a threshold, the hazard rate was 4.5, and if they used a continuous variable, it was highly significant. Variables that were related to elevation of troponins included senior age, hypertension, coronary disease, renal failure, COPD, and elevations of C-reactive protein. So the authors concluded that the rate of troponin elevation myocardial injury is high, and it is associated with a number of other comorbidities. And they postulate that there's this inflammatory mechanism that occurs in at-risk individuals that leads to myocardial injury. And obviously, this is also associated with increased hospital mortality. The next article is a really nice paper. It's relatively small, 99 patients, but they're consecutive, and they're enrolled at two hospitals in Italy. And they were collected in March. 99 patients, 53 of them had a history of cardiac disease. These were compared to 46 who did not. And then they looked at outcomes. So among the cardiac patients, 40% had a history of heart failure, 36% had AFib, 30% had coronary disease. Mean age was 67, 80% in this study were men. If you compared the cardiac and non-cardiac patients, there were no differences in creatinine, BNP, or high sensitivity troponin in this study. In this study, 26% of patients died, 15% had thromboembolic events, and 19% had acute respiratory distress syndrome. 6% had septic shock. If you had cardiac disease compared to those who did not, the rates were strikingly different. The mortality was 36% versus 15%. The thromboembolic event rate was also higher, 23% versus 6%. And the rate of shock was also substantially different, 11% versus 0. So clearly, patients with underlying heart disease, whether it's heart failure, coronary disease, atrial fibrillation, these people have higher risks of mortality and thromboembolic events. And the mechanisms, again, of this are not well understood, but inflammation appears to be increasingly the target. And how we can potentially counteract that is, of course, the point of various active research. The last paper I want to talk to you about today is probably one of the most important papers that I've covered on my podcast in recent memory. This is a study published this week in Annals of Internal Medicine, and it looks at the false negative rate of testing for COVID-19 using reverse transcriptase polymerase chain reactions, which I'll describe just as a PCR. The authors pooled data from seven studies, two that were preprints, five that are peer-reviewed, 1,300 patients totaled. And the cases had to be confirmed to basically say, yeah, this was a patient with COVID-19. And they looked at the rate of false negative tests depending on time from the exposure day all the way till the essentially the end, presumably, of the illness. And the numbers are really striking. So if you test for the presence of COVID-19 on the exposure day, the false negative rate is 100%. If you test 4 days into it, the false negative rate is 67%. If you test on the day in which typically symptoms would occur, day five on average, the false negative rate is 38%. The optimal day is 3 days later, 3 days after symptoms developed, and the optimal rate is still associated with a false negative rate of 20%. The day later is 21%. By day 21, 66% false negative. So this is an extraordinarily important study, and it highlights the fact that our testing is still far from optimal. On the best day, which is 3 days after symptoms, fully one patient out of five will test negative, who ultimately will have this coronavirus syndrome. So here are the key take-home messages. If the clinical suspicion that you have is high for this infection, it is not ruled out by a negative test or even two negative tests. And at best, our current PCR methods are going to miss one patient out of five. Clearly, this is very sobering, and it calls to mind that we must continue to have high levels of clinical suspicion, and of course, our ability to test needs to dramatically improve if we're going to beat back the tendency for this virus to spread in our population. Well, I want to thank you for listening to Eagle's Eye View. This is your weekly cardiovascular update from ACC.org. Please visit the COVID-19 hub on the website. It's absolutely wonderful. There's all kinds of information for you in various formats. I think you'll find it terrifically informative. Certainly I do. And I hope you stay safe and have a good week. And I'll look forward to talking to you again next week. Thank you.